like you got your coffee in you. Doing good? How's 11 o'clock service doing? Amen. You may be seated there. You may be seated. Good to have you here. If you didn't say hello to your neighbor on your right and left, tell them hello. Come on. Anybody love Jesus in the house? I said, does anybody love Jesus in the house? What a great time. Friday night, pretty much everybody on the front row went down to listen to Mosaic and Travis Green on Friday night. We had a great time together. And I'm not used to it. I was like halfway through the concert. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like midnight. You should be home sleeping. And I'm with all these young bucks in the front row, and I'm like fading at like 10:30, and the concert's just started. But I made it. I'm alive. And it was so awesome to worship with a bunch of people from all over Los Angeles, and different colors of people was amazing, different ages of people was amazing. But I always love coming back to our church. There's no other place I'd rather be than here at New Life. Come on, if that's you, would you make some noise? All right, a couple things before we dive into the Bible here. We're in week number 13, I believe, in our series called Just Jesus, looking at the life of Christ, not going through like a book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but we're just going through the life of Jesus. And how many have been to any of the services? Any of them? Good. Hands down. How many have been to all of them? Come on, keep your hand up. These are the people that are going to heaven right here. Just kidding. And I missed last week. We were gone, but my friend Bernie preached the roof off. He did a great job. So I was telling the other services, I feel like I played basketball in college, and one year I hurt my ankle. I was out for like a month. I couldn't play for a month. And it's like, I feel like that guy that hasn't played for a month. And then it's like, Abraham, check in. And so because I wasn't here last week, I'm here today, and I'm excited to be here in the presence of the Lord, preaching to my favorite service of all four of them. So cool. My wife and I are tag teaming the message. It's going to be great. So I'll do the first point and the third point, and then it's going to get really good when she comes out in just a minute. But why don't you do this? Is it okay if we do this? Is it okay? I'm kind of feeling the room right now, and yes, we're going to do it. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of the Word of God. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you have an NIV, you can follow along, and I might even have you fill in a word or two, but if you have like a New King James or ESV, New Living, don't say anything, because it's going to sound like we're all speaking in tongues up in here. So just chill, unless you got the NIV, all right? You got your Bibles there? How many are grateful that we hold in our hand the most amazing book on the planet? And as long as I'm the pastor at this church and anybody gets up here to preach, we're going to have a Bible on our hand. And unfortunately, so many churches all over the United States, all over the world, they don't even get into the Bible. It's like, why are we gathering together if we don't study the Word? Like, who cares what I think? Who cares what you think? Everybody has an opinion, but God wrote a book, right? That's what we're fired up about. Come on, I'm already started to preach, and I haven't heard like more than three people. Man, I take a week off, and look at you misbehaving like that. Verse 38. I'm just looking to see who's looking at their Bible, not me. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way. It's really cool when you read the New Testament. How many times you read the New Testament and you discover Jesus does some cool stuff on the way to somewhere? Yeah, that's great. So it's like John 4. He had to go back to Galilee, but the Bible says he had to go through Samaria on his way to Galilee. He stopped in Samaria because he had to meet a woman at a well and offer her not just physical water, but eternal water, life-giving, supernatural water. So he stopped while he was on the way to minister to somebody. I'm thinking about another. Oh, we're going to get to the passage, I promise you. We're going to get to another story. I was just in Mark chapter 5. The Bible says that Jesus was on his way to go heal Jairus' daughter. Remember that story? And on the way to heal Jairus' daughter, he met another gal on the way who had an issue of blood. And God stopped what he was doing and ministered to her. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be saved. And she did, and he did. And on the way to one place, he ministered to somebody else. I wonder if we could look at ourselves, our own lives, on the way to work tomorrow. You stop at Starbucks to get a drink, and you're like, I'm just getting a drink, and I want to get... But I just wonder if you're in Starbucks that as you're on your way to work, God has you there because he wants you to talk to somebody, to invite somebody to a service, to... That you would just stop for a second, if I would just stop for a second, and on the way to where I'm going to, on the way to the dentist, as you're sitting in the dentist's office on that paper that crinkles, and she comes in to take your blood, I just wonder if you're not there for the dentist appointment, you're there for another reason. Cool things happen on the way. I wonder if when you go to the DMV to renew your license, I know that Satan is at the DMV. But Jesus might be too. And I just wonder, as you're waiting in the DMV line for 4.5 hours for them to call your number, I wonder if you're there for more than just the renewal of your license, but you're there to share the hope and the love of Jesus. I'm just wondering if, like, on the way to our life, so Jesus was on his way to the cross. His whole life was about on the way to the cross, but he stopped and had a conversation, stopped and healed and stopped and did a miracle. So I just want you to be really cognizant this week as you're living your life on the way. Amen? You're dismissed. Have a good day. Just kidding. Martha opened up her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Does that go down at your house? Do you have kids? Seriously? I always have to clean off the table and do the dishes. Why don't you ever ask Ryan? He always fakes like he has to go to the bathroom. And do you have your kids argue about who's doing the chores? She's like, Jesus, can you tell her to get in here and help me out? Verse 41, Martha, Martha. Turn to your neighbor and tell them their name 2 times. If you don't know their name, just say hi, hi. Hello, hello. What's up, what's up? Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Father, thank you for our time together. We have worshiped you with our voices, with our finances, and now we worship you with our hearts as we hear you speak to us. We honor you, we honor your word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would do what he wants to do in our midst. We have come not for a church service, we've come to encounter the living God. So do that in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name, and if you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. High five somebody next to you as you're being seated there. You can kick your shoes off, stay a while, take a chill pill, whatever you want to do. Hey, title message, ready? Title message is recalibrate. Everyone say that. Come on, say that loud. How many have ever you punched in the directions on your MapQuest or your whatever and you missed you're supposed to take a right turn and you missed it, supposed to take a left turn and you missed it, and then Siri gets on and she says, rerouting, rerouting. And if you have like a really cool Siri voice, you could do like Australian or England, right? And so she says, rerouting. Another word for rerouting is to recalibrate. How many have ever like, okay, I'm serious, I'm gonna start eating good and working out. And so you're like, no carbs for 2 weeks. And you step on the scale after 2 weeks, no carbs at all. And you're like, hallelujah, I lost 7 pounds. This is a day, this is a day. That the right? And then you step off and the needle goes to -7. So you actually didn't lose any weight at all. You have to go down to the scale and recalibrate the scale, right? Here's what I want from us. I believe that the Lord wants from us today. I think... And the busyness of our life and the busyness of, I mean, life is really hectic and it's involved. I got to go here. And if you have kids or married, then just like times it by 100. And if you're very active in our church, then you got church services and Training for Life and New Life Institute. And then I got to serve and we're just going 1,000,000 miles an hour. And I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to recalibrate us to what is the most important thing. So my job today is I get to talk about Martha, and then Tammy's going to come out and talk about Mary. So here's the first thing on your notes. Write this down in your notes. Point number one, I want you to see, found in verse 40, the distraction of Martha. Write that down in your notes. The distraction of Martha. Bible says in verse 40, Martha was distracted. And I've read this passage many times before. I preached from this passage several times before. And every time I read the passage, I come to the conclusion, which it's a false conclusion, that Martha was kind of like She was like the one that we're supposed to look down on, and she was busy, and she was distracted, and she was worried. And Mary's just like the exemplary, awesome, sitting at Jesus' feet. So Martha bad, Mary good. And listen, that's not what the text is about. The text is about Martha was distracted. She wasn't doing a bad thing, by the way. She was hosting Jesus. Let me remind you, if she's not in the kitchen preparing food, Jesus is eating at the rescue mission. So she's doing a really good thing, but the Bible says that she was distracted. So when I read the text over and over, I thought to myself, there's more in me that appeals to Martha than there is Mary. So I just want to be honest. My favorite character of the two is for sure Martha. Then I thought about that in my office, and I'm like, you know, I started to think about my own life. I've discovered this about me. I don't like a lot of things that a lot of people like. That's just my, so I got a lot of like, and the other two services. And so I'll just be honest, I do not like any animated movies at all. Amen. If you were to say like Cinderella or Snow White, and I don't even know what you're talking about. Never seen it, don't like anime. And don't say, well, you got to see Frozen. That's, no, I don't like the song. I know I won't like the movie either, okay? It's just, and I'm not banging. I'm just saying I've never liked cartoons. I don't like animated movies. I don't like any fiction books at all. So after four services on Sunday, I don't like I want like Braveheart, I want Rocky, I want UFC, I want some blood flowing, give me some violence, get tackling somebody, like that's what I want, right? So I've never been a cartoon guy, never been animated. This is, I know you're gonna get upset. Don't like sci-fi at all. I don't get it. You're like, I know, but you gotta see Star Wars. I walked out of it in high school. I was like, so bored. My wife and I went to New York City a couple years ago, and they're like, you got to go see Les Mis. You got to go see Les Mis. I have never fallen asleep in a church service. I've never fallen asleep in a movie theater. It was the only time in the history of my life I fell asleep during Les Mis. And I'm just like, and then I kind of woke up at the end, and people were walking out like, wow, that was so powerful. I'm like, powerful? And so I'm just saying I'm different than you. So you might like Mary in the text. I like Martha. I grew up ninth grade. I like punk rock. There's probably not too many people in the room that like punk. I like it. In fact, if you were to play a song today, I'd probably say, I still like the music. And so in the text, I like Martha more than I like Mary. You know this. My favorite sports teams are the Cincinnati Bengals, the New York Yankees, and the Boston Celtics, and I don't like any LA teams. I don't know why, I'm just different than you. So in the text, I like Martha more than I like Mary because I can identify with Martha more. The Bible says in verse 38 that Martha opened up her home, but verse 40 says she was distracted. Distracted. You ever get distracted? The word distracted means to be pulled apart. I mean, like it could happen at church right now, you can be distracted. Here's an idea that I have. I'm not sure if it's going to go over, but it's an idea. What if before we came into the Sunday worship experience, what if, I know the young people are going to lose their mind when I say it. What if we left our phones in the car? You got two old people raising their hand. Now, wouldn't it be cool? So then during the service when we're supposed to be listening to the message and worshiping God, we're not swiping and liking and ping. We get a ping and a bing and a DM and all this stuff and we're just like distracted or in the middle. That would be cool if we just said, no, I'm leaving my phone. And no, I gotta feel like it. It's really weird too when I'm preaching and people are like FaceTiming. Like their brother-in-law's in his underwear in his bed, like watching me. I'm like, that's weird. Why are you doing that? I just want to throw it out. Wouldn't it be cool just like, hey, we're leaving the phones in the car and for 75, 90 minutes, we're just going to not be distracted by anything on social media. I think it would be cool. I'm going to propose it. I don't think it's going to fly, but what do you think? She was distracted. Notice, not distracted by anything bad necessarily. Wasn't that she was distracted by Netflix or Fortnite or ESPN March Madness or anything like that. She was actually doing a good thing. Here's the problem. Her priorities were off. This is going to be so convicting. You guys look too serious. I'm going to go to this section over here. I want to talk to this section. Hey, what's up, guys? This is the A section. B, get your act together, see. This is a really convicting question. Ready? What if all 4,000 people that called New Life their home had your spirituality? If all 4,000 of us had your prayer life, what would we look like? If all 4,000 had your devotional life, like I haven't read the Bible in weeks, exactly. So if all 4,000, what would our church look like? How deep would we be? If all 4,000 of us had your, so I don't look at anybody, I don't know what anybody gives in our church. I don't want to know, because if I knew that you've been coming to the church for 20 years and you've never given anything, I'd be up there like this, and inside I'd be going, you little sucker. I'd be wanting to say, you little selfish booger, so I don't want to know that. But if everybody had your commitment to giving at our church, you know, 20% of our church is carrying 80%. We have 80% doing nothing. So just like giving. If everybody gave like you gave, could we be able to pay the bills at our church? If everybody worshiped like you worshiped. So you're like watching people jump around. You're like, whatever, they're a little young, little booger. Oh, so you're in the back just going, so what if all 4,000 worshiped, came to church with your energy, came to church with your passion? What kind of church will we look like? So after the fourth service, my wife and I might go to Wood Ranch. We might go to Yolanda's. We haven't talked about it yet. When we go to Yolanda's and we go to Wood Ranch, it happens this way. We always order a combination meal. And I'll tell you exactly what we order. 2 chicken breasts, baby back ribs, a baked potato, and coleslaw. The meal comes. I put the baby backs on her plate. She eats that. I eat the chicken breast potato, cut it in half. You get half. I get half coleslaw. You get a little bit of coleslaw. I get a little bit of coleslaw. And that's how we roll. Yolanda's, 2 beef tacos, a chicken or cheese enchilada, rice and beans, split. There's yours. There's mine. Wouldn't this be weird if the meal came out? I'm like, hey, you keep your hands to yourself. I'm going to eat as much as I'm going to eat. And if there's anything left over for you, Mrs. Abraham, I'll give you your share. How would that go down? And we do that with God. I'm going to plan my day. I'm going to plan my week. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to watch Netflix. I'm going to do all that I want to do. I'm going to spend $80 at the restaurant. I'm going to spend $50 at the theater. God, if there's any money left for you, if there's any time left for you, if there's any energy left from you, I'll give it to you. But it's so funny because I'll ask people like, hey, you have an awesome personality. You'd be a great usher. You'd be a great greeter. I need to pray about that. Hey, do you know the Bible says you're supposed to give 10% of your money away? I need to pray about that. Let me ask you a question. Did anybody watch TV this week? Anybody? Okay, did you pray about that? Hey, God, do you want me to watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? No, you just, did you have to pray about watching March Madness this weekend? No, you just did it, right? Did anybody get on social media at all this week? Did you pray about going on Facebook? No, you just did it, right? I just went on Instagram. Anybody go to the movie theater? Go to a restaurant? Yeah, did you pray? Hey, God, do you want me to go? No, you just did it. Isn't it funny? We have a double standard. When it comes to the things I want to do, I'm going to do it. But hey, you want me to serve or give? I need to pray about it. Hey, I need to hear an audible voice. I need a prophetic word from God. No, you don't. The Bible says some things. We have a double standard. So it wasn't that Martha was doing a bad thing. She just wasn't doing the best thing. She was, the word I'm thinking of, she was distracted. Someone say distracted. So this week, me and a couple of our pastors had lunch a late lunch with Nick Vujicic. And the guy's amazing. I'm so humbled to be around this. He has so much vision. And I just wonder if I'm even saved half the time I'm around him. I want to do this, I'm going to do this, we're going to start this, we're going to build that, we're going to do it. And his brothers helped him over the last couple of years because he has like 9 different major themes in his life. I want to do this. And his brothers said, hey, you're doing way too much. Let's take the 9 things that you're fired up about. And he helped him over the last year or two to get it down to 3 main prongs. And I think that's what the sermon's about. You got 5 things or 7 things or 9 things or 13, there's all these different things. And God's just saying, hey, let's narrow it down to that which is most important. Look at this verse, Ecclesiastes 4:6, before my wife comes out and the sermon gets really good. The Bible says it's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time with what? Both hands, trying to do what? How effective is that? Have you ever tried to catch the wind? That's dumb. Yeah, and to be that busy and overextended is that dumb as well. She was not doing a bad thing. She was distracted. I think it'd be awesome if you put your hands together and welcome my wife to the stage as she comes and preaches.
Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Martha's distracted. You know, I am distracted by so many things. In fact, right now, my brain is just spinning. I'm thinking, okay, Tammy, slow down. Don't talk too fast. Don't forget what's in your notes. I'm looking at you guys. I'm noticing you. And then my microphone is really bugging me. It like goes around your neck, and then it does something to my hair. They're definitely made for people with a lot less hair than me, if you know what I mean. There are so many distractions in our world, and yet my soul yearns to be like Mary. I want to have her devotion to Jesus. I want to hear him more. So this morning, would you fill in on your notes the second point, the devotion of Mary, the devotion of Mary. And then let's read in our Bibles. If you would read while I follow along while I read, it says verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. You know, Mary is mentioned four times in the New Testament, and all four times she is sitting at the Lord's feet. She's the same Mary that poured that expensive oil on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. You'll see Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. She took a posture of adoration and reverence. She was soaking in the presence of the Lord. She was listening to his wisdom and encouragement and receiving his love. She was sitting at his feet, just getting a little bit more of Jesus. You know, when our kids were little, or when Riley was born, she was the first grandchild on my husband's side. So Steve's mom, Arlene, came over, and she brought food, which she was an amazing cook, and she cleaned my house. We had a little two-bedroom, one-bath house, but that house had never been so clean. I came in the kitchen, and I watched her cleaning the top of my refrigerator. And I thought, are you supposed to clean the top of your refrigerator? I had never done it. I don't think to this day I've ever cleaned the top of my refrigerator. I don't know what's growing up there. I don't see it. It's up there. And maybe someday when we get a new fridge, it'll be okay. But she was cleaning the top of my refrigerator. And I was just, oh, Arlene, you're so awesome. And, you know, to do this. And she said, you know, I want to do it. When my kids were little, she had four kids. She said, I was so busy. I was busy all the time, especially after little Stevie came. But she said, you know what? There's some things that I busied myself with that I didn't need to. I wished I would have stopped a little bit more and spent time with my kids. I wished I would have just not cleaned the top of the refrigerator and gone out and played with them. You know, I thought about that story as I read this passage, because this passage is a reminder to me. It convicts me and encourages me that I need to stop and spend time at the feet of Jesus. There's things that I busy myself with that God's never asked me to do that fills my time. And I need to stop some of those things. Psalm 46:10 says to be still and know that he is God. You know, it takes time to get to know somebody. This June, Steve and I will celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. Yeah, give it up for me. It's been a long 30 years. No. I know him pretty well now. I know his likes. I know his dislikes. I know all his jokes, and yes, I still laugh at them. All his teams are my teams. I love March Madness now. It's my favorite time of year. We're more alike now than we were 30 years ago because we've spent a lot of time together. We've gone through some things together. We've prayed together. We've endured together, and we've had some great times together. We know each other now, and in the same way, I need to spend time with Jesus. And when I spend time with Jesus and I get in his word, I get to know his heart. I get to know his thoughts about me. I get wisdom. I get direction for my life. I need to spend time with Jesus. John 16:33 says that in this world, there's going to be a lot of tribulation and trouble and problems. Haven't we all gone through something? We're going to have obstacles. We're going to have things not go our way. But the word declares that we can have hope, be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. We need to know what God is saying to have victory in our lives. If we don't know what he's saying, we don't know. We're out of our minds with worry and out of control. But when we know what God's word says about something, we can rest in the confidence we have in Christ. You know, it's hard to say no. I'm a busy person. I really enjoy cramming as much in my day as I can. I like working hard. My job is busy. But there's times that I'm saying yes to something. I'm saying no to something or someone that's more important. Have you ever been to Costco or Target and you're literally, you have two or three things on your list and you tell yourself, I'm running in and I'm running out and I'm getting just what I need. And an hour or two later, you come out with a cart full, you've redecorated your bathroom and you're broke. You know, have you ever done that? I mean, help a girl out here. Is it impossible? I got to get better at that and make my husband happy. But it's so hard to say no at times. We need to slow down. We need to spend time with Jesus. You know, our world is not slowing down. Your life will not stand still. Your kids won't stop growing. Life is going so fast. It's getting busier and crazier. And you know, if you're as old as my husband, you'll remember back in the day, they said computers were going to make our life easier. They were going to make our work a breeze. Does anyone remember that? Work is harder than ever. What about smartphones and all the technology we have? It seems like the more technology we get, the harder our life gets, the more complicated, and the busier we get. My workload doesn't go down, it just goes up with every piece. But in this passage, Jesus is not contrasting work versus worship. We serve an excellent God, and he deserves our best. The Bible has a lot to say about working hard. Working hard honors the Lord. Working hard sets a good example for your children. Working hard provides food and a car and a place to live. God is not saying not to work hard, but he is saying, I'm way, way more interested in your heart. My work is part of my worship. The way we live and the way we work is worship to the Lord. I'm a full-time worshiper of him. Dishonoring your boss or your coworkers is not worship to the Lord. Taking long lunches or breaks or taking office supplies is not honoring his name. Degrading your spouse or your kids is not living a devoted life to Jesus Christ. Not getting enough rest or exercise or eating healthy is not honoring the God-given temples of the Holy Spirit that God gave us. Putting our career or our ministry before everything and everyone is not what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to be full-time worshipers. Everything we do and everything we are should flow out of worship and devotion to him. On the screen here, Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Like Mary, Mary knew something that we need to catch. Because like Mary, if we don't learn to rest in the Lord, there will never be enough vacations. There will never be enough time off. There will never be enough of anything if we don't fill our souls with the one who created us. We need to be like Mary and rest at the feet of Jesus. I want with all my heart to be a good wife, to be a good mom, employee, daughter, friend. There's so many times I fall so short of the things I want to do. And that's when I go to Jesus and I'm all, hey, I cannot do this without you, Lord. I can't be the woman you've called me to be without you. I love this verse. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray so you don't fall into temptation. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. I remember when my kids were little, and I had 3 kids under the age of 4. So one day I got all 3 of them down for a nap at once. And if you have little kids, you can say, that is a miracle, hallelujah. Well, naps at the same time. I felt so good. I got my Bible out, I got on my couch, and I started to read. I'm all, oh, Jesus, this is so good. I need to be with you. And sure enough, 2 minutes later, I hear one crying. I go in and get that one to sleep really quick before they wake up the others. And then I go back, and then I start hearing, Mom, Mama, Mama. And it gets louder and louder, and I'm all, go in, quiet that one down, get back, start to read again, and then one comes out, Mom, what are you doing? It was just like one thing after another, and honestly, I was so frustrated, I cried. I'm like, Lord, I just want one, just not even an hour, let's have 10 minutes, Lord, 10 minutes. But you know what? God was with me. And I have to recognize, we have to recognize the enemy of our souls will do anything he can to keep us distracted from sitting at the feet of Jesus, because he knows 1 minute in the presence of God will change everything in our lives. And then we'll become those people that God wants to use. God wants to use each and every one of us. And so we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus did not love Mary more than Martha, or Martha more than Mary. He loved those two women. But in the passage, we see that Mary chose what was better. In fact, let's read verse 42. But few things are needed, or indeed only one, and Mary has chosen what is better. Few things are needed, and Mary chose only one, Jesus. If we want to be people fully devoted worshipers sitting at the feet of Jesus, we're going to have to make some choices that allow us to stop and soak in his presence. There's no formula. There's no right time of day to read your Bible. You do what fits you. If it's in the morning, on your break, in the evening, just get out God's word and read. And if it's something new for you, start with one verse. Then work up to 2 verses, then a chapter. And you're going to find God speaking to your heart. You know, just a couple weeks ago, it was just kind of a cruddy day or week. And I got out my Bible in the morning, and I'm like, Lord, I just want to be with you this morning, start my day off right. It's been kind of rough. And in my journal, it took me to Joshua 1. And if you've ever read Joshua chapter 1, it takes you, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And I got done reading, and I'm like, Lord, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. I needed to hear that you're with me. You're not going to leave me or nor forsake you. And I can be strong and courageous in you. So I carried that with me through the day. I prayed. I asked the Lord just to help me and to be with me. And then later that day, I went to Hobby Lobby. And sure enough, there was a sign. The Lord shone on it, told me to buy it, that said, be strong and courageous. I took it and put it in my office. God spoke to me in the morning. I prayed about it. I asked him to show me just how to be strong and to change me. And then he spoke to me again in the afternoon. Something super simple. It didn't mean anyone to the passersby, but it meant something to me because God had highlighted in that my life. You need to be praying. It's as simple as talking to God, pouring out your heart. Sometimes I write down my prayers. I name all of my kids and my extended family, and I call out on the name of the Lord for their specific needs. I have post-it notes on my computer, so if I glance and catch a name of something that is really important, I will pray for them. I'll ask God to be with them. You can pray too. Pray for your kids when they leave your house to go to school. You plead the blood of Jesus over them and a hedge of protection, because God, they're going out into a dark world, that they would be lights You keep praying for your kids. Listen to God and make your life about worship. Some of you are listening to music that is not building you up. You need to put on a good CD and listen. My son's laughing. It's like, all right, I'm old. No CDs anymore. You get your music back in your phone and put your cord in and it'll play. But the point is to worship the Lord. This morning I was listening to a song, Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, to prepare my heart. Before you go to work, before you go into a meeting, you ask God to be with you, give you wisdom and the words to say. And you know what? He's going to show up in a big way. God wants us to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, that we work hard for his glory and we worship him. About 6 weeks ago here at the church, we started what we call our Sunday morning rally. We've invited every volunteer that serves in our church and our staff to join us out here in the lobby. And the heart is to set that time aside before we do anything and to worship him. We make the main thing, and that's Jesus. So I want you to see for a minute our Sunday morning rally.
Advance for what you're doing and the city and the community of New Life. Come on, here we go. Ready? On three, Jesus. One, two, three, Jesus!
So awesome. I love that. Come on, put your hands together. So cool. Hey, the reason we started doing that is because after we said Jesus, then we had some people going out to work to park cars. Some people went in the children's ministry to watch the kids cuddle a baby. They were ushers, they were greeters, they were going to go into the tech room, they were going to run sound, they're going to be on the worship team. So here it is. We worship first, and out of our worship flows our work. Wouldn't it be cool if you would do that every single day before you went to school, before you went to work, before you did anything? You just said, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, and focus on him. Amen? Here's the last point real quickly. Number three, the deception of Martha's. I read the text over and over. I saw three different ways, three different times in the text that Martha was deceived. And the first thing that I discovered was in verse 38. So if you have your Bible there, I want you to look at your Bible there, verse 38. The Bible says, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha, notice this little phrase here, she opened up her home. She opened up her home. So because she opened up her home, she was distracted, she was worried, she was troubled. But notice, Jesus didn't say, hey, I'm coming over. You better have a meal ready. Mary didn't say, hey, get in the kitchen. Put something together. Jesus is coming over. No, Jesus didn't say it. Her parents didn't make her. She opened her home. And because she made a decision, that was the reason she got distracted. I want to ask you a question. Could it be? That the reason why you are in a situation that you're in is because of a decision that you made. You created it. My husband is driving me insane. You married him. My wife is on my nerves. You married her. These kids, plural, are driving me insane. You should have stopped at one. You decided to have them. You decided to go to school. You decided to go off to college. You decided to go into the military. You decided to take that job. You decide. How many know we do make a decision, then we get mad at God or other people? She's the one that opened up her home. Nobody forced her to open up her home. Second thing I noticed in the text, notice in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Had to be made? Had to be made. Who told her they had to be made? Isn't it interesting? If we're not careful, we start taking something that becomes a joy in our life and it becomes an obligation. It cracks me up. I'm not preaching. People are just like, gosh, when is this gonna get over? Like who made you come here? Like, unless you're like a kid, somebody dragged you to church? Get in the car right now. We're going, no, you decided to come here, so stop looking at your watch. I get to be here. I don't have to worship, I get to worship. I don't have to praise, I get to praise. I don't have to dance, I get to dance. I don't have to come to all four services. I want to be at all four services. I want to give God praise. I want to read my Bible. I want to study it. Nobody's making me do it. I get to do it. Come on, put your hands together only if you want to do it, not because you have to do it. Gotta go to church. You don't have to come. You know, there are people that drive from Simi Valley, Moorpark, Thousand Oaks, Ojai, dragging four or five kids to get here because they want to be here, not because they have to be here. I don't want anybody coming to this church because you have to do it, unless you're under 18 living in your parents' home. Oh, we get to do this. We get to worship. We get to serve the King of Kings, not have to. Someone say get to. So fired up, I haven't even looked at my notes recently. I love this part too, by the way. Verse 40, Lord, don't you care? He's probably like, not really. Like, I mean, I care about you, Martha, but I don't really care about your pity party. I don't really care about your temper tantrum. I never asked you to open up your house in the first place. And don't you care? We have any parents in the house? So hungry. I haven't eaten in like an hour. Don't you care? Not really. Take your rear end of the kitchen and make yourself something. Okay, guys, we're going to go run a couple errands. We're going to have to stop by the collection. Then we're going to go over to Walgreens. We're going to... I'm going to be so bored. Don't you care? No, actually, I do not care. I don't care. Can I watch a movie? It's an 11-minute drive. And you have to put a movie on for your kid because he's bored. No, I don't actually care that you're bored. Stare out the window, hum a tune, act like you're busy. I don't really care that you're bored. And all the parents said, amen. Hey, when I grew up, we grew up, four people in the back seat, two parents in the front. Both of my parents were smoking. We'd have iPads or iPhones or anything. No air conditioning in the car. And you had to make up games for 3 or 4 hours. Can I get a witness in the house? So no, we don't really care. Lord, don't you care? Not really. I love verse 40. Tell her to help. Tell her to help. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody in the room ever judged someone because you thought they should be doing or not doing something that you thought they should do? Three people, you lying. Facebook. Somebody needs to tell her she's 54, not 24. She should not be wearing that dress. New car? Must be nice. I wish I had his job. Like, that guy's on a break like every 3 minutes. Like, does he ever work at all? Then you see like a couple that just got married. Oh. All the pictures, they're just like cuddling together and they violate the seatbelt law. They're just like right next to each other. And you're just like, yeah, you wait, sucker. About two, 3 years, you're gonna be miserable like us. You ever see somebody like they're always gone, they're always on vacation? You're like, must be nice. Like you're always traveling. What's up with that? What are you, their accountant or what? Like, so she's like, don't you care? No, not really. Not really. I honestly picture Mary like here, right? I love the Tasha Cobb song. Here I am, God, arms wide open. Here I am, God, gracefully broken. That's Mary. Here's Martha. This is like so me. I'm back here. Here I am, God, in the stupid kitchen. And I'd be like banging pots and pans. I can't find it. Hey, get over here and help me out. And that's just like totally my personality, like so less like Mary. And so we got a director's chair here, right? I honestly love this chair. Not the chair, you know what the chair stands for. I feel comfortable really like here because I'm a pastor, I'm a boss. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a leader. I'm Martha, man. I like to see things done. I don't know if you noticed, if you jumped on the golf cart, we just painted them all this week. I love progress. We took out the carpet in the children's ministry hallway. We put in concrete stands. She's like, let's go, go, still stuff. Hopefully we're going to be renovating, painting in here and doing some other things. I'm just like, let's go, let's go. I'm kind of type A, like to get some, I like this chair. I'm like a Martha, man. Let's go. Let's work for God. And again, the contrast isn't between Martha and Mary. I just know sometimes I got to get out of the seat, get out of control, and I gotta get down here because I don't know about you, I'm better down here. It's more comfortable to sit here, but I function way better down here. And let me just say this: this message, this sermon is not about, listen, it's not about two sisters. It's about two tendencies in every heart. Two tendencies in every heart. In all every heart in the room, there's a Mary and a Martha inside of us struggling between doing for God and being for God. Listen, we need to do for God. He said, hey, I'm leaving. Occupy till I come. You got to be about his Father's business. So there's work to be done. The reason why I like Martha better as a pastor is because, like, if you get, like, a Mary spirit on your staff, I just feel called to worship the Lord. Like, that's awesome. Go find a different job. Because we work at our job. I just got a Martha spirit. We'll take Martha's spirit, take it to another church because we work here. But it's born out of worship. I'm just so convicted because this is way more comfortable for me. And I gotta stop in my own life and say, Steve, you gotta get down here. You gotta be more like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you for our time together. God, we want to be recalibrated back to the heart of God. Give us wisdom, give us strength. Give us discernment on how we can live a merry life in a Martha world. It's a lot to do. But we have to be about the Father's business. We have to sit at your feet. Show us what that looks like in our individual lives. Because there's a Mary crying out inside of us. We need to be with Jesus. So would you do that in and through us? Would you breathe that into the fabric of this service right now? In the fabric of our church? So that our duty doesn't get in the way of our devotion. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Can you stand to your feet right now and give God your greatest praise right now? Come on, put your hands together and thank him for his goodness. Come on, I can't hear you.